Future.
Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
here. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
error. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed.
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
I'm trying to do a samba rumba merengue thing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, now I can see why my game was all the way up.
There you
yeah,
go.
Okay.
That's Michael, Tech Talk Castle. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to Tech Talk here on WRLR. And what in the world? I mean, do you understand? For me, that's right in my musical wheelhouse.
Oh.
I love that. Who was it? I can't quite place the band.
That actually, it's another Control Machete song.
Oh,
so they're
wow.
the ones that do that Si Senor that
oh.
we do a lot. And,
oh, yeah.
They're kind of a crossover or hybrid Latin hip hop kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that going on. I mean, there's a lot of influence all over the world with music. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I really like that. I really get off on all the different musical influences. And
for instance, salsa. There's salsa everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, German. There's German polka salsa bands and stuff
yep.
like that. So.
Well, there's an interesting, is completely non-related to technology, but there's a great the history of the Mexican. Kind of you know that the very typical what we hear that what we consider like kind of the music from Mexico, that band music with the
mariachi
and the tuba, but no, but more with the all that is actually because of the German settlers who came
yeah.
into that area
yeah.
at that time
yeah.
when they were starting to do a lot of construction
yeah.
and they just picked it up and they ran with it and they combined it with what they were doing and they'd have it was a very integrated musical scene, even and this is, I mean, what, 200 years ago? It was really, really, I remember hearing this, I believe I heard it on NPR, a really fascinating historical study of the musical roots of the kind of Oompa
yeah.
band.
Yeah, well, and it's great that you bring that in and contribute to the sonic seasoning of the Talk program.
Now we may be going too far with it. I don't know. You know what? It's like art. I hear it. I like it. I say, let's play it. So,
well, we have that latitude. We have that latitude, thank goodness. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Of course, everybody now has the ability to do all their own great stuff with music. Any of the songs that you hear on here, too, well, not and I mean, a lot of the interstitial stuff I don't put up, but the podcast-only song of the week, you can always get a link to it if you are signed up through the Tech Talk newsletter. I send those out each month. I break down not only what our cool sites of the week were each week, who we had for guests on, what's coming up in the next month of guests, who to look out for, what to look out for. But then I also, too, give you links to all of the podcast-only songs of the week. The podcast-only song of this week is going to be, have I decided yet? I think I decided, actually, earlier. I was going to do The Geeks. The Geeks Got It Right, and that is by, I'm trying to find it now. See, if anybody's watching on Justin.tv, they're going to see me like madly trying to look through my laptop. The Geeks Were Right by The Faint, that's who it is, and just a great, fun song that I thought would be good for us here. Today, we've got a good show today, though. Today should be a great show. We've got,
As always,
we've got Jay Garman. Jay Garman has warned me his geek trivia bit is going to be a little foreshortened today. He's got appointments. He's got more important things than us, basically, is what he's told me to deal with for the day.
And, nothing's more important than our listeners, of course, but more important than us, almost everything.
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know what I think it is? I think he's trying to renegotiate his contract. I think that's what it is. So.
Well, good luck with
Jay,
that.
Jay of the Stone yeah. is stone is dry.
Get in line there,
there's buddy. No blood coming
yeah, yeah.
out of that. So No, we love having Jay on. He's gonna break down last week's question and, of course, give us a new great geek trivia question. And then after that, we're gonna hear from somebody we haven't heard from for a long time. Mark Beer from PC Tools is back on. He went off. He got married. He went back to Australia for a while. Yeah. He did all this crazy stuff. Now he's finally back, and he's
so geeks can hook up then.
It does happen.
Yeah.
And she's a beautiful woman. I saw the pictures through Facebook and his Flickr account. And yes, she's a very attractive family, very attractive group of people.
So all you lonely geeks out there, there is help.
There is hope for you.
Hope
for you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I consider myself blessed every single day when I go home and I there's someone actually there. And I mean, it's...
that puts up with you.
She does. Yeah. I don't know why still. Yeah. I haven't figured it out. I'm hoping that I never do because, you know, I probably won't like the answer. and Rusty's shrugging his shoulders here. He's, somebody puts up with Rusty on a daily basis, too.
Really?
So that's, you know, it's a...
well, that I can kind of understand.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
He's sort of a, you know, vicarious jock, you know.
So, yep. And it went on and actually put up with him for an extended road trip to Arizona. That blows my mind. I don't think I could survive that long of a trip with anybody. I don't think anybody could survive that long of a trip with me, I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's more of the problem.
So
let's get this road trip going.
Oh, let's get this party started. Yeah. Okay. This is Tech Talk. I forgot. Not me talking about my problems.
Yeah.
It's you talking
about music.
It's you talking about your computer problems. So you know what we should do? Let's do Jay a service. Let's get him on here right away. We'll get him on and we'll take care of it.
I second that one.
As usual, of course, had some of our usual responses to the geek trivia, which were very good, most of them from Customer Jones.
Hello.
Hey good Jay. Morning, Mr. Garmin.
How do, fellas?
Very good. It's warm in here, so I'm happy about that turn of events. Yeah. But it's not so warm outside the door.
Taking a break in the server room, are we?
That's an idea.
You know, the server room would still be about 60 degrees warmer than it is anywhere else in the immediate area. So, but how are things for you? We were just explaining that you've got more important things to do than the Tech Talk show. So you wanted to?
I wouldn't go that far. I just have things that other people in my life who outrank me think is more important.
Okay. All right. Now I understand.
You have our sympathy and encouragement.
I told Dave it was a negotiation stance, is what you were doing. You were trying to get blood out of the stone. And so I did get some answers. Now our last week's question was what was the largest airplane ever? No, not ever constructed, but that actually flew, I think is the way that you put it. And I did get, of course, our usual host, a raft, I should say, of good answers from Customer Jones. But I'll let you answer the question with the geek trivia.
I didn't know Susan had a rash.
Raft.
Sorry.
I think I'm fortunate to not know her well enough to know whether she does have rashes or not. I'm perfectly content.
We should say that about our listeners.
I'm perfectly content with my own rashes. Any listener out there, I do not want to know about your rashes.
Or boils or...
Yes. So that...
Anything that might be confused, the plague of Egypt. You don't want to know about it. No locusts, no frogs, no death of the firstborn, none of that.
No, don't. No buboes. I don't need to know about... Yeah, any of that.
It's, but we digress.
Yes.
All right, the question was, what was the largest aircraft that ever actually went into regular service?
Can't wait to hear
the biggest
this.
Aircraft ever was the Spruce Goose,
right?
Which only flew once
right.
And not very far and not very high.
Right,
yep.
The biggest, largest aircraft ever to put in regular service is the AN-225, which is a Russian-Ukrainian aircraft,
Ooh.
And there's only one in the world.
Wow.
And it was designed specifically... to move the Russian space shuttle Buran between launch yards. It is only 30 feet less wide than the spruce goose. It's got a 290-foot wingspan.
Wow.
It is a variant on the AN-124, which is the Russian version of the C-5 Galaxy,
yeah,
and the AN-225, the monster plane, which NATO calls the Kossack. I think the Russians call it the Mariah, which I think means dream. But it's actually 67 feet wider than the C-5 and 28 feet longer than the C-5. It is humongous.
Yeah, well, and to put that into perspective, I mean, 290 feet. You're just a couple yards short of a football field at that point.
Exactly.
So,
well, I mean, basically, this thing can hold a space shuttle in it. I mean, just think of it that way. As big as the space shuttle is, and just to throw in some extra trivia in there, the space shuttle is the only supersonic aircraft big enough that you can hear it break the sound barrier twice, because a lot of folks don't realize this. Any supersonic craft actually makes two sonic booms, one at the nose and one at the tail. But usually the craft isn't long enough for you to hear a difference in the booms. It sounds like one big boom. The space shuttle is big enough that you can actually hear two distinct booms when it breaks the sound barrier, or when it slows down enough, when it's breaking it, landing. And this thing was big enough to hold one of those.
Yeah, a space shuttle is roughly about a little less than half the size of a 747, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah, but of course your 747s don't typically get up over the speed of sound, though.
No.
Although that's not entirely true. They can, and one has. And they did it during,
wow,
and I forget the exact circumstances, but they basically, during flight testing, put it in nosedive, and it actually broke the sound barrier in a controlled dive.
And the wings stayed on. That's the big thing.
And the wings stayed on.
Yeah.
But I think the exact report was, don't ever freaking do this again.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine it being somewhat like the scene inside of a U-boat as you descend to the bottom of the Marianas.
Well, how you pulling it out would be the big problem, right?
Oh, yeah.
Getting it in the dive isn't an issue. You can put any aircraft you want in a supersonic dive, I think. Can you get the aircraft back out before you find Earth?
Yeah.
Is the issue.
Yeah.
And without ripping the wings off,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Oh man, I had no idea. Yeah, that is not a plane I would have wanted to be in at all. Well, hey, the best answers came from customer Jones on that one. If anybody has answers to these, and I'm sure you do, send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. And
I'm sure lots of our listeners have answers to these, but they're just too cool. If you know the answer to this, you're just too cool to show up.
Or, you know, I think what it may be too is the coffers have been empty lately. I have not had a lot of gifts.
No swag
to throw out. There's no swag to toss, you know. I think that makes it tougher.
Well, what about bragging rights?
I'm going to try and... Well, there is bragging rights. you know what? I should probably start maybe mentioning people in the newsletter. So you'd get... You'd get some...
It's a good plan.
Some street cred, anyways,
yeah,
and all that. But I'll have to start building up the bucket again here. Maybe hitting up some of our more generous guests for giving us cool stuff to give away. We had some really good stuff for a while there, books and things. But
so Jay, what do you got for us?
Yeah,
for next
what's
week?
What's on for tap for next week?
Well, this being a bit of a political season, what with the new Obama administration, I was going to do another political one,
but
it's a technology tie-in. People who are heavy into the storage industry will recognize the name Al Shugart. He co-founded Seagate. He knows a little something about hard drives. But if you are on the West Coast, you also know he's got some kind of quirky political activities he enjoys doing. And in 1996, he ran a relative of his, Ernest Shugart, for Congress. And unfortunately, Ernest was disqualified before he could actually run for election. Why was Ernest Shugart disqualified?
And there's a technical reason for this.
There's a very interesting technical reason which tells you a lot about Al Shugart that it's going to be a fun answer, and it's a little bit easier than my normal question, but just go look up Al Shugart and 1996 congressional race in California and figure out why his relative, a member of his family, Ernest Shugart, was disqualified. And it's going to make you wonder why exactly Al helped this person run. Because it's really, you would think that this person would never be considered for congressional office.
Interesting. I can't even hazard a guess at this one. So anybody out there that does want to hazard a guess, and even if you're not, you don't know for sure, just send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm, and we will tell you if you were correct next week. Well, Jay, we'll be as good as our word. We'll hustle you out of here quicker than we normally do. For people that are missing their Jay fix, you can certainly go to the writtenweird.blogspot.com and check out what's going on, although there hasn't been a lot of activity there lately.
Yeah, I gotta update that.
and soon enough, we're gonna have to have you on with a little more time under our belts to talk about the things that you've got going on with sports stuff and online activity there, and also to maybe to get an update on what's happening with the what's the name of the other venture you've got, the three
Third Space Media. I actually have been updating that website. You can go to thinkthirdspace.com and hear me talk like I know what I'm doing about social media and emerging media and online management, that kind of stuff. That one I've been writing for. The website I actually own, not so much.
Cool. Well, you know, and it's funny, and I know you don't have a lot of time, but it was I had just been reading interesting articles about how some major figures are hiring people to do exactly what Third Space Media is doing. You know, Britney Spears, for example, actually hired somebody to be her online presence manager. And, you know, it's just a really, it's probably, I think you guys have chosen a good time to jump into that arena.
Well, and while I'm glad that Britney's doing that, I think Britney needed to have first hired someone to handle her offline presence better, like her life.
Yeah, that tends to make the rest of it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. If she's concerned about how she looks on Facebook, she should be really concerned about how she looks face to face.
Yeah, exactly. And once you get all that nailed down, then it's not so tough to actually have a good presence online. But
absolutely.
Yeah, that that's a whole other kind of show. So
yes, it is.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, you fellas have a good rest of the show and a good weekend.
All right. Well, you too. Thanks, Jay, for joining us again this week, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take it easy, fellas.
All right.
Yeah,
take care.
You too. It's a shame he had to go so soon.
Yeah, it really is. I just got a bump from Mark Beer as well. He's ready for us anytime. What I think we'll do, though, is that we will first kick into some spots and drops and all the other good stuff for a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back, and right after that, we will talk to Mr. Mark Beer from PC Tools, and he's going to tell us all about what we should be aware of for security stuff. There's a lot of
security stuff
going on right now I want to hear about. And
we couldn't have a better guest for this particular time.
No, it is perfect. It is perfect. And just to let people know, too, we do have a great schedule the rest of this month. There's only 1 week left, but we've got Perry Aftab and Tracy, who's a cyber mom from Chicago, is going to be on with us next week. So more security stuff, more things. And, oh, man, yeah, like I said, you just said, there's so much going on with security. It's a great time of year to have a bunch of security people on. And just to
help our listeners and help us.
Yeah. And just to get people's mouths watering and so on, there's also going to be, I think we're going to have PC Magazine's going to be on in
cool.
a couple of weeks. We're working with a bunch of the Fixer from Chicago Sun-Times. I'm trying to work out something with her. We'll actually have her on, not just her cool sites of the week pick, but she can talk to us about a lot of stuff with things happening and all that. So I'll keep you up to date on that. You can always go to our website, techtalk.wrlr.fm. I keep thinking of one more thing.
Homer.
I got to tell people this, though. I need to start getting in the habit of letting people know at the beginning and at the end of each show, if you subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, I am moving the podcast. I'm going to be putting notices up in iTunes, but I can give you the new feed location right now. It is feeds 2 feedburner.com/techtalkwrlr. And you can actually sign up for this in iTunes by clicking on Advanced and then subscribe to podcast and just throw that in there. It's going to be in the newsletter this week. You also, too, can find the links very easily by going to techtalk.wrlr.fm and under the show. I've redone the whole show page so that it links you to the right places. We had been hosted by Podomatic, you know, and we're moving out of there. Unfortunately, I'm having a really tough time doing the transition as gracefully and gently as I would prefer. There is actually XML and code that you can put into the feed to transition people so I don't have to yell at you every week to say, you know, don't forget to move. But unfortunately, I can't insert that code into my feed because it's not owned by us. It's owned by Podomatic, who was gracious and generous enough to host it for quite some time. But I'm just running into this.
And they're not being very helpful in taking business away from them?
You know, yeah, you'd think. I don't understand. They won't
help
me.
How dare they?
They won't help me leave.
Those proprietary.
Most people are
eyeball mongers.
Most people are excited when I leave. You know, they fall all over themselves opening up the door for me to go. And but Podomatic just doesn't want to do it. So just heads up on that. There will be more information forthcoming. You know, but yeah, all iTunes listeners, just to alert you, I'm going to continue running the two podcast feeds simultaneously for quite some time, probably a couple of months. But I'm gonna keep popping more and more information into the feed just to let people know that we are switching. I've got to get the new feed subscribed, or not subscribed, but populated into iTunes as well, because it's not an official iTunes feed right now, and I think that it's been held up because, of course, the name of the podcast is the same as the other podcast, so iTunes has probably got some kind of thing that's, you know, hooking it up and or holding it up and stopping it and doesn't want it to go. So anyways, all right, let's get on. We'll move on. Now I'm going to get back into the real stream of things.
So we're moving.
We're moving.
To sum it up, we're moving.
Dave,
and it's not quite so easy. You know, it's going to take a little work on your part to get the podcast.
Yes, that's Dave, you're far too succinct to be in radio.
I know.
It doesn't. That's not appropriate.
I know, which is one reason. You know, I do better as a second banana.
Yeah, there's nothing second about your banana. And on that note, we'll be back in just a minute.
WRLR 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advanced tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Hi, I'm Casey.
And I'm Nick.
My Aunt Patty loves to cook.
And Uncle Tim loves music.
And we listen to them every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on 98.3 WRLR-FM.
Why do we listen to them again?
Duh, because Aunt Patty loves to talk about cooking.
Oh, yeah. So what does Uncle Tim do there?
I'm not sure, but if you listen to them on Thursday nights at 6, you can find out.
By the way, Aunt Patty, what's for dinner?
Oh, here. Eat this.
Cool.
And you can listen to us every Thursday night at 6 right here on 98.3 WRLR.
¶¶
All right. We are about ready to try and bring our good friend Mark Beer on here from PC Tools.
Can't wait to hear from him.
Yeah, yeah. If I can find his Skype connect here. Oh, there we are. We got it. Okay. That always helps. It always helps.
Hey, they're laying off a bunch of people at Microsoft.
Oh, I know. A lot of them. Good morning, Mr. Beer.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, there we go.
Welcome
Fantastic.
To the show.
Welcome. Welcome back. It's been, I can't even, I don't, I was trying to calculate how long it's been.
I thought it's been
I'm
about
sure.
5 or 6 months, maybe more.
No, it hasn't been 5 or 6 months.
Not quite that long.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think we play this game every time I come on. I think we play the game of how long has it been since Mark was last on the show.
It's probably due more to our lack of time sense than to your actual... lack of consistency.
We're isolated from the world in here. They don't let us out during the week.
Exactly. Well, you've been busy. We were talking on air here just a minute ago. You got married. You spent time in Australia. You've been all over the place doing all sorts of cool and exciting non-geeky, non-tech kind of things. You know, real,
yeah. It's been a hectic few weeks. I won't lie. I've actually recently got married 2 weeks ago, and I've had family from Australia sleeping on my floor in my house for the last 5 weeks, so it's been pretty busy, but it's been good to see them all the same.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, that's great. Tell your brother he needs to get a haircut. They do have barbers here, and but other than that, you have a fantastic, a very handsome family. I was very impressed.
You've been looking at my Facebook profile, haven't you, Mike?
Yes, I have. I couldn't resist at least one dig, you know. It's just too much a part of my character.
I'll tell him you said that. I think he's still sleeping on my floor right now.
Well, don't wake him up then.
I won't do that. That's all right. How's everything going with you guys?
Very well. We've had some very successful weeks on the show. We've had some really good guests lately. Just some great stuff happening with us. We're moving our podcast has been the big news. We just spent far too long talking about that a couple minutes ago as well.
So. We've been dealing with a lot of anxiety about potential internet threats.
Yeah, that has been a big thing, not only on the security side of things, but also too just general internet safety. We had Perry Aftab and her crew on talking about some of that stuff. And of course, you know, COPPA has been hitting some rough times here, and people are trying to manage and figure out how to. I mean, the realm of security now on the web is so huge and hits so many aspects of how we deal with our online life that I think it's becoming more and more confusing for people as opposed to less, which is what technology is supposed to do.
Yeah, we've discussed it many weeks. I think that, you know, it's the things that just look like normal all everyday internet websites that trip you up. You know you can't if you're unprotected these days, or if you just kind of let your guard down for a bit, it's so easy to get infected with something or have someone watching what you're doing. And I think one of the things I read a blog post, just it comes down to the simplest of you know, what you do online. I read a blog post on collegehumor.com, which is just a site where there's all sorts of funny videos and stories, and it's very prevalent for me because I've got so much family here. What is so important that people sometimes forget is logging out of certain online websites like email, banking, Amazon, Facebook. I've seen this blog post where this guy actually, instead of logging people out after coming onto a public computer after they've used it, he used whatever thing was logged in and either bought something on Amazon after someone hadn't logged out, or they'd posted random messages on Facebook after someone hadn't logged out. And he says that he's doing it just to teach them a lesson, not to log out again. But just simple things like that, people just kind of forget to do. I know sometimes on my personal computer, which no one else uses, I sometimes don't log out, but still a good practice to get into, because if you go to, you know, a library or even a hotel or a hostel, and use their internet there, it's so important to log out. Otherwise, you never know what someone's going to do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm as bad as anybody when it comes to my laptop and my personal computer. And I think because it's a laptop, I feel more secure about it because it's, you know, with me physically. But I recently, and I think I talked about this on air maybe even, as I was in a hotel in Pennsylvania and came down and used the business center and went up to a computer to log in, and the person who had just walked out the door had actually left their bank account information logged in. And you know,
what did you do with it after you write it all down?
Well, after transferring the funds to my offshore account, I did the right thing. I logged him out. I considered, I looked out the window to see if I could still see him, and he had kind of taken off quickly. Otherwise, I would have hollered at him. But
should have given yourself at least a tip. Yeah.
You know, next time around,
like just a buck. You should have sent yourself a check for a buck.
$1. Yeah. You know, that's
just
a good
so he knows that, you know, what the deal was.
That's a good a good point. And I think you can probably add a memo to that transfer too.
Right.
And
I think you could still go to jail for that though.
You know, absolutely. That would be an interesting case to see and find out about. Certainly it would be.
Surely it's his fault. It's not, yes. Not your fault at all.
Yes, I could just, you know, it's, I thought
he deserved it.
I thought it was my account. I don't know what I came down. There was money.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure you've got a case. But there's other things like that as well at the moment. You know, people are definitely trying to be as secure as they can, and there's definitely a push in people buying, you know, Apples and MacBooks and you know, and Macs just because they feel like it's safer. And in general, it is. People can't get infected by a lot of the Trojans and worms and things that hit PCs on a Mac. But recently there's actually been a Trojan that's been going around for the Mac specifically, and it's for people who are downloading cracked versions of Mac software. So there's a Trojan that's going out in a cracked version of iWork, which is the new production software for Mac. And it's been going out, the new one's been going out around like torrent websites and peer-to-peer sharing websites.
Yep.
And yeah, pretty much, once you install it, it you know, runs in the background on your Mac, and it will kind of, it's been using to flood websites at the moment, and they've got at least 20,000 instances of it being installed on people's computers through torrent websites, and they're using it for, you know, denial of service attacks, using all these Macs together to do denial of service attacks.
Wow.
On websites.
Wow, I had not heard that, because yeah, you do typically what you hear, and I think the promoted sort of idea is that the Macs are certainly not inviolate or invulnerable, but that it's very, very unlikely that you would find that sort of activity, and obviously that's just not true anymore. Then,
well, people, you know, you can be more confident on a Mac, as I said, but there are things you still need to consider, like phishing is still a universal threat to no matter what operating system you have.
Yep.
You know, the new Internet Explorer and Firefox and even Safari have protection against that, but it's just all phishing is a website that's looking like another website that's stealing your details. That's not something that's running on your operating system. So there's still ways to get infected no matter what you're doing, where you are, how much security you've got. Most security software these days has a very up-to-date list of sites that, you know, have phishing on them, but you know, there's always sites coming out, and no one piece of software can protect you from them all.
Yeah, yeah, I know that's always been a kind of a concern and a question. You know, there's different ways to approach the kind of blacklisting idea, and one concept is to have a database of known bad sites, but then there's also the combination of that with some heuristics, you know, and being able to kind of intelligently review a site prior to presenting it on your screen to say, is this most likely a legit or not a legit site?
Yep.
You know, but in each of those, of course, has pros and cons.
Yeah. Well, since we've last spoken, there's actually a phishing threat that's been going out. It was a CNN based one though. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It was from an email, as a lot of them are, and it was saying it was linking to a page which was meant to be of a graphic video related to Israel-Hamas conflict. And people were taken to a website that looked just like CNN and were asked to do the typical thing where you have to download the new Adobe Flash player.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
But there's so many websites, like even Facebook, whenever I'm there, seems to always want me to install Java. somehow, to upload pictures or whatever. And it's like the Flash update's so common because they're bringing out new versions all the time, and same as Java. It's just so easy just to click yes. And the most common person isn't going to know that that Flash update is not the Flash update. It's actually a Trojan. So just encourage people, if you do see an update like that, don't do the easy thing.
We just dropped him. Oh, here he comes. He's coming back already.
Oh, good.
You back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't know if that was your end or our end, but good old Skype, exactly. Now, I should mention probably that this is a Skype call, but it's also a Skype to Skype call. Typically we use Skype and we go Skype to landline, and those are very clean. We've had somewhat I'd say lukewarm type of response with Skype to Skype sometimes. Guy Kawasaki interview we had is a great example of rather questionable if we could actually hear him or not.
Does it sound okay?
This is great. Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is the best ever I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. I'll take that sounding great as nothing to do with Skype. It's just the tone of my voice.
That is it, too.
That's
yeah.
what it is. It's the magical quality of your voice working its wonder on the
general aura.
Well, I think part of it is, you're trying to be very considerate to your family, so you're speaking in a lower tenor, and it's got this sexy hook to it.
Sitting in the bathroom right now, so I don't wake anyone up.
That's it. It's the echo. It's the echo. So, but we were talking about actual technology issues here.
The point I was trying to make was if you see a prompt for an update to Flash or Java, don't do the easy thing. Go to either Sun Microsystem or Adobe website and get it from there. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be. It was very, very, very low chance of it actually being a malicious version if you get it from there. And if the website's still asking you for it after you've downloaded the most recent version, then obviously they've got an issue with their website, or it's something wrong with their website's distributing a wrong version of Adobe Flash.
That's right. That's right. And that's always good advice for anything, whether it be a CNN email or something that you think is from your bank or these types of updates, is, of course, don't trust the first site that you see of it. Go where you know it's correct. Go to type into your computer cnn.com and then go looking for what it is that you've been alerted to. The same thing with the Flash updates and all that. I with a lot of these software updates and the Flash updates, like Facebook is a great example. I'm one of those people that I ignore and abort almost every single application that it wants to install for me. It gets really irritating after a while. It seems like every other day, every couple of hours, there's some new application somebody's trying to get me to do, and they're all kind of crazy, and I don't trust any of them. And the same thing too with the with all the Flash stuff is that if I go to a website and it says your version of Flash isn't current enough to run what we want, then I figure, if they couldn't bother to make it backwards compatible enough to my version, I'm not gonna deal with them anyways.
Yeah, that was a smarter option.
So.
That's right. Well, there's getting aside from that, I think it's something that's affecting my home country. I think it's kind of nice it's not affecting here, but I can see what they're trying to do. I don't know if you've heard about the being coined the Great Aussie Firewall, where the government in Australia is actually looking to put a firewall across all internet service providers blocking a number of websites.
Oh my.
Oh no, I had not heard about this. You hear about this a lot in the more restricted countries, but
like China and those types of countries. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I hadn't heard about that in Australia though. What is the stated reasoning behind that? What are they trying to affect?
There's only apparently 1,300 or so sites listed as being what they're pushing for them to be blocked. There's been a lot of uproar about it, but they're mainly horrific websites like child pornography, excessive violence websites, instructions in crime, or doing, making bombs and things like that. So, the government is definitely, they've got their reasoning behind it, but then it comes back to that, freedom of speech and freedom of information thing that the internet's become so popular for, that everyone's kind of upset about. And then once you give the government that kind of power, where do they stop? Where do you draw a line, and what's good and what's bad?
Yeah, well, and I had heard of I want to say it was somewhere like in the colder countries, Sweden or Norway or someplace like that was going to be doing things like blocking BitTorrent sites and peer-to-peer networking sites within their country. And you're only a small step away from that, I think, from them saying, this is a public safety issue, to this is a legal issue because the record industry of America is suing our country that we're allowing this to continue now that we have the power to stop it.
Yeah, also, it's also one of those questions where, well, should they be investing the money in a different method of tracking this stuff instead of just blocking it? Someone I saw wrote that they should just be monitoring who views these pages instead. Asking for that information from the internet service providers. But it's just such a questionable thing. There's people for it because it does make sense, because they are bad sites, but for other people, just they don't want Big Brother watching them or blocking them or censoring what they do.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, I know we're taking kind of a negative view, and as a technologist, I would normally take a pretty negative view of that type of restriction myself. But I have to say, Australia has been one of the more progressive nations as far as its internet policies, and particularly in its policies and maneuvering to educate users within the country. And correct me if I'm off base on this, but I believe Australia had a big push a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, to really educate end users within the country about spam and spyware and all this other stuff, which I hadn't seen done anywhere else.
Yeah, they are pretty active. It's a very, very good thing, and keeping people educated is one of the most important things. But I guess it's also one of those things where, like with a lot of things in Australia, the country's able to be more progressive because of their population. You've got 23 million people down there, which is not even the population of California over here.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to get messages out to that many people compared to, over 300 million in the U.S.?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I don't know the exact. We'd have to ask Jay, our geek trivia, for the exact
maybe
number.
Maybe that'll be the question next week.
Yeah.
But speaking of trivia, I've actually seen a guy who looked at spam. He analyzed the spam he received for a month, and put out some interesting statistics about it. Statistics like, he said he had 30 spam messages for every normal message he had. He analyzed, what names were used for, what people were using as a name, from who it's from. And they also analyzed the top 10 words that come up in the subject heading of spam messages. I don't know if you guys could guess the top number one.
The most common spam messages?
Just the word that appears most in the title for spam.
Viagra?
No, actually it was job.
Job. Oh, wow. That makes sense.
Top 10 goes job, inches, watches, huge, make, love, life, today, size, women. That's the top 10.
Okay, yeah, I get a lot of the inches and size spam. Somehow seems to make it through my my filters.
Don't take it personally, Mark. Take it.
I appreciate that, Mark.
But yeah, it was a very interesting thing. I'll have to send you guys a link to it.
Yeah.
He just kind of analyzed all sorts of stuff about spam, and he said the longest period for the whole month where he didn't have any spam was 16 hours.
And that was probably right after they pulled the plug on the server farm out in California.
Yeah, probably.
One thing interesting too, and we were talking about some of these worms and things, we should probably mention to people, they've heard about the Conficker, Keto, or Down at Up worm, which has infected millions of companies by going through and even infecting these portable flash drives and then being carried from place to place on that. The one thing though that I found really interesting and that we can all act on immediately, even without having to know if you have the possibility of getting this, is that one of the things that this worm does is if it can't use the Windows security holes to access your computer, it will try the standard Windows account, and it's got a list of like 250 some odd standard passwords, like admin, 1111, foo, my pass, password, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a really good reminder to people that you need to have a strong password, even on accounts that you don't use, maybe even especially on accounts that you don't use on your computer.
Yeah, it's very important. A lot of people don't actually change their Windows password either. A lot of people, I know it can get frustrating having to log into Windows every time you start it on, turn it on. Sometimes people just want to turn the computer on and walk away and have everything ready when they get back.
Yeah.
They don't touch that stuff or they don't set it up. So that's just another, you know, example of what's important. As funny as well, as this is kind of a bit of a funny side note, I guess, for us, but I saw someone did some analysis on Antivirus 2009. And they were assessing, you know, the code that was running in the background for Antivirus 2009, which has been a huge threat last year, and I'm sure this year new variants will be dangerous as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a line in the code that said, if the version of Windows is Russian or Ukrainian, do not infect the computer.
Really? Interesting. So
it looks like those guys are looking after their own.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. That's the first I'd heard of that. That's fascinating. Well, it certainly helps you narrow down where that was coming from.
Yeah, that's cool. I think I've shown you before. We've got a website, threatexpert.com, that shows at that point in time where most of the threats are coming from, and it's generally in that region. So I think those guys are just, you know, saving themselves from getting infected by their own threats.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, that it's a nice way for them to be able to test it too internally. Is you know, you set up one computer with a Windows American version, and you've got the one that you work on, which is Ukrainian or whatever, and that way you can play and not worry.
maybe we should move to Russia and Ukraine. It might be the safest place to live.
Yeah, there you go. At least as far as the computer viruses go and all that. Well, you know what? We're going to have to start closing it down. I got to get to our cool sites of the week and all that. For people, though, who haven't heard you on the air before, just to let them know, maybe you can, what are some good PC tools sites for them to get to where they can find information, they can find solutions for some of these issues?
Yep, PCTools.com is the place to go. We've got a couple of different programs. Spire Doctor is our most well-known product and has won awards heavily since it was our first release a few years ago. And that you can download a free scanner and scan your computer for free at PCTools.com. So if you're, you know, unsure of if your security software is protecting you well enough or if you don't have one at all, just go and run a scan and see if you're infected. Also, I mentioned, you know, Macs earlier. We have an antivirus for the Mac at the moment called iAntivirus, which is free. And then there's also another product called ThreatFire, which is a heuristic-based anti-malware, which is also free. So if you go to ThreatFire.com, you can get a free heuristic-based anti-malware, which is we've discussed it in the past what it does. If, you know, if people are unsure of what it does, then send Mike a message and I'll let them know. But one other thing before I leave as well, just we've talked about these before, but there's also a bit of a push at the moment of Valentine's Day related messages going out. Just be cautious of that. There's all sorts of different messages that, you know, look like someone's trying to send you something, telling you they love you, but it's usually a threat, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anytime anybody sends me something that says they love me,
you're suspicious, right?
Stop sending me spam, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's kind of like the old greeting card thing from Christmas and all that. So yeah, definitely a good tip is watch out for that. Don't get too excited when you get that message. And we will talk to you. Maybe we can set up something to talk near the end of February. And
October. We're keeping with the theme of 6 months, October. Sound good?
We'll talk to Mark again in October. No, surely we'll be earlier than that. And congratulations to you and your wife, and many many happy returns in the weeks to come here. And we'll speak with you soon.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks again, Mark. Take care.
Thanks for being on the show.
And that was Mark Beer from PC Tools. Always wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have him.
Fantastic information.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really, what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
And we, of course, though, have got to move in quickly, quickly, quickly here. I don't know how this happens. We have an hour?
Well, we have such great guests.
Yeah, you know,
we do.
It's true.
It's tough to stop talking to them and get on with the business of the show.
It's true. My problem.
But then again, what's better than cool sights of the week?
That's exactly right. Well, my problem too with the guests is that I, as I get to know them and like them more and more, and I want to find out more about their life. You know, he's got excited. He's getting married. I want to talk to him about that. You know, all this fun stuff. Cool stuff. So, but not tech related. Not relevant to the program.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's.
Oh, that criteria. Yeah.
By that right criteria, let's get on to some cool sites of the week. Now, the first one that that I want to give you a link to is a very this is going to help balance out the non-tech stuff. This is a very geeky site. This is only going to probably be of interest to a very limited number of people out there, but those people that are interested in this are going to be very excited about it. At least I was.
Ultra geek.
This is ultra geek stuff. John Sheehan has a blog. It's the John-Sheehan, SHEEHAN.com/blog. It's a great blog if you're a programmer, especially if you do any programming in .NET, but that's not the best thing about this is that he has released and created and released for free for you to download and use and print and do whatever you want to with them, a whole raft, again, not a rash, but a raft of cheat sheets. He's got a bunch of .NET cheat sheets. He's got some JScript cheat sheets, ASP, all these stuff. It's great. So like, I've been using the JavaScript one. I just put it right up on my wall because I've been doing a lot of JavaScript and ASP stuff lately. And it's just a great little quick glance reminder as to how do I declare a variable? How do I set this up in HTML so I can run my JavaScript properly, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's right there, right in front of you, especially if you do your programming and coding in like Notepad++, which I do a lot of. You know, I need to do a real quick hit. I got to update something fast. I'll go in there. I don't have all the tools that Dreamweaver, all the help stuff. I use Dreamweaver for the heavy lifting, but maybe I don't have time to bring that up. It's great. Check it out. I'll put the link up, but it is John-Sheehan.com/blog/net-cheat-sheets. And it's just really, really great stuff. I was so excited when I found that. Very cool stuff.
Good for people that are just learning code.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, it's definitely, you know, geared more towards your heavy duty users. But even people learning it are gonna at least get something out of it just from glancing through and seeing what is important to people that are coding. So take a look at that. Here's another one too. Now this comes through our good friends at LifeHacker.com, and they did a whole series on customizing your desktop. And I love stuff like this. This is great, especially if you're a casual coder. You know, you don't do coding for work, but you love kind of getting your hands dirty in this stuff. And they have come up with just a whole set of really, really cool desktops. By desktop, I mean what you see on your computer in Windows, especially these days, if you've got a multiple monitor set up and you can use, there's a program called Samurais. There's one called Rainmeter Lite, and you can use these and customize them and show you what the weather graphs and charts and all this stuff and clocks and system tools and really, really neat looking stuff. You got to see it to believe it. If you go to lifehacker.com and do a search in there on Enigma desktop, you will find a link that I'm going to give you in our monthly.
It's a great
newsletter.
Name for it too.
Enigma desktop was like the winner, top link of the cool desktops that they saw, and they have a whole thing on exactly how to customize your own killer Enigma desktop setup, and it's really neat looking. If you want to blow the people around you away with the geekiness of your setup, this is the way. People will take one glance at this and go, oh my gosh, you've got way too much time on your hands or something.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I love doing this stuff because I always wind up learning something, you know, that I didn't know before. Maybe a little bit more about coding something, maybe a little bit more about how Windows interacts with things. It's always really fun to check out. And that, like I said,
they might become really impressed by your technical acumen and ask you to fix their computer. Yeah.
Oh, boy, maybe. Tell them to buy a Mac.
Yeah,
no, but check that out, lifehacker.com. We've talked about a lot. It's 508-7956/customize-your-own-killer-enigma-desktop. Like I said, just go there and search on it. You'll find
I'm
it.
I'm sure
you'll
everybody's like, writing that down
yeah,
curiously.
Yeah, exactly. and then we're going to close the show up here. Like I said, I've got, you know, one thing I do want to mention, too, and this has been a cool site, I think. You know what? No, I don't think it has been a cool site in the past because I couldn't quite get my head around how to use it, but I'm going to tell you about it now. It's Evernote. If you're in the blogosphere at all, you've been hearing a lot about it. It's been around for a long time. I've had exposure to it many times, and what Evernote is a way to capture basically everything. You can send it emails. You can send it scans from your computer. You can send it text. You can clip text out of websites and all this. And it pops it into notebooks that you create. There's a desktop client and an online web client and a Windows Mobile or iPhone client as well.
Cool.
So that the things that you capture are with you always. It's truly a David Allen getting things done UCD, ubiquitous capture device. You can take this thing with you and do anything with it. And I, like I said, I had a tough time getting my head around how to use it in my system. I was very paper-based, and just recently it's been my New Year's resolution was to restore my organizational structures to where they needed to be. And I hadn't actually planned on talking about this, but I've been using it so much this last week now that I've got to make mention. If you haven't done it yet, go to Evernote.com and check it out. It's free, too. This is the amazing thing. Oh, and I should mention, when you upload a scanned item, it will figure it out. Even if it's a picture or handwriting, it will do analysis on that handwriting analysis. It will know you can search on it. You can search on the words that are the PDF, in the picture, in your handwriting.
What a handy thing for college students and stuff, for taking notes and getting notes, you know, searchable notes.
It's amazing. I've started now, you know, when we prepare for the interviews, any thoughts that occur to me, I've got shopping lists in there. I take pictures of a magazine article it's got a headline I want to remember, a CD that I want to make sure that I listen to a couple of tracks off of, things like that. You pop them in there. It takes some time.
And it's got a mobile client, too.
It's got a mobile client. Yeah. You can record audio to it. It's really a phenomenal, amazing piece of technology to help you organize. I've started now just scanning anything that I sign, any receipts and things like that, and I'll throw those in into there, and then I just don't have to worry about them or think about it. You have to get into the habit of tagging things because there's a search functionality, and if you've tagged things properly, you can search on it very easily and bring it up into categories for yourself. And following in the getting things done, that'll allow you to contextualize stuff so that, you know, anything you need to do that is related to a phone call, you just type in your search of phone and bang, there it is. And you can make all your phone calls at once. But that's getting off track, too. So we got three really cool sites for you this week. The Evernote, the Enigma, and the .NET cheat sheets. So I think that'll fulfill our daily requirement of awesomeness. And we'll just...
it goes beyond the requirement.
Oh, even beyond. We're even more awesome.
Just like we're going beyond our time now.
Almost. I've got at least a minute left.
No, you don't.
I'm going to leave you with "The Geeks Were Right" by The Faint. Thanks, as always, for listening to us. And we will be back at you next week with Perry Aftab and all those
guys.
So have a great week, everyone.
See you then.
Eyeballs float in wet green grass. I got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eyelids fold while I'm in deep REM sleep or twilight zones. I take a freight elevator and run fast forward. I get to grind these teeth and peek through time. If I could bring things back, then feed back wild and wet.